The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Many big announcements were made by the Prime Minister's National Day rally on Sunday evening. And Prime Minister Li highlighted the announcement of the new development called the Greater Southern Waterfront, the GSW. Of course, we have to have an acronym. It is Singapore, after all. The GSW is expected to stretch from Gardens by the Bay East all the way across the barrage, all the way to Pasir Panjang Terminal, basically taking out the area that was the current old port, the Tanjung Pagar port, and going through all the way to the Keppel Golf Club. Now, with 2,000 hectares of land, it will be six times the size of Marina Bay, about twice the size of Punggol Town. Prime Minister nicknamed the GSW Punggol by the Bay, so we'll see if that moniker sticks. Plans include putting aside Pulau Brani for fun and recreation, a resort by NTUC, plus an attraction similar to Universal Studios on Sentosa are expected to be built on Pulau Brani, which is down in that zone. So about 9,000 housing units, both public and private, built on the Keppel Golf Club site as part of that GSW. Now, according to Prime Minister Li, the move will be an opportunity to reshape the GSW into a new place to live, work, and play. In the studio, Christine Lee, the head of research for Singapore, Southeast Asia at Cushman Wakefield, is with us today. Good morning, Christine. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me here today.
Wow. Exciting times if you're in the real estate and property business, huh?
Of course.
This is huge, this announcement. What's the initial take by Cushman and Wakefield on this announcement by the Prime Minister?
I think it's quite unique for Singapore because if you look at global gateway cities, it is rare for government to actually free up land sites in such prime location to cater to the housing needs and also the business needs. In Singapore's case, you can see that this is pretty much a clean slate because currently we only have port activities and you don't have to demolish buildings, you don't have to relocate people. So it is very exciting opportunities to reshape the city skyline.
And yet it very much fits in with the notion of the live, work, and play zone and also taking areas like Punggol, like East Coast, Tampines and those areas and making them into their own sort of centers for living, for working, and for recreation.
Yes, definitely. Because in terms of the location, I think this place is best of the both worlds. Because if you look at Punggol, maybe businesses find it too far to conduct business.
Yeah.
And for East Coast, it's primarily just a residential area, although they have the sea view. And for this Greater Southern Waterfront City, you can see it's a city by its on its own. And there will be a lot of interesting business opportunities because Google is already there, Unilever.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And if you look at certainly some of the key attractions that can be brought to this area, I think we should perhaps decouple from what we see today. I mean, what's exciting today may not be exciting 10 years later. Internationally, there is a trend that, you know, this kind of tech giants, their headquarters become a very interesting landmark for the city. For example, if you look at Seattle, in the past, we probably just look at the TV tower. But since Amazon had Amazon Sphere, which is their office base,
right,
the headquarter basically looks like a ball. It looks like a bit like our Gardens by the Bay.
Yeah.
But it has attracted a huge number of tourists. They are visiting the headquarters every day because primarily because the unique features of this Amazon Sphere, there's a lot of plants. Basically, they are making it into Amazon jungle. So can we have something like that, which is not exactly attraction, because attraction is quite passé. I mean, Disneyland used to look at Singapore, but 20 years later, do we still want a Disneyland, you know?
Yeah. You know, when we look at the size of this project, 9,000 homes and recreation area and all that, and its location to the southern part of the CBD, you know, things like the urban planning that has to be involved with this must be quite important because when I think about that, one of the things that comes to my mind is traffic. It is, you know, it's going to make Keppel Road just really, really difficult, right? Because so many people are trying to go in and out and in and out. Does Cushman Wakefield look at those types of issues as well, the ingress and egress?
Of course, if you look at the major cities, I think one big problem is traffic congestion. Mm. And if you remember, there was this British expert who talked about Singapore traffic, and she actually made a comment that cars should travel at 20 kilometers per hour, right? It's a bit unthinkable, but yeah. With a lot of this future mobility, we are talking about flying drones today. We are also talking about those huge buses. If you have seen in China, they have been already implemented because they basically like a huge giant that transport people from one end to the other, basically bypassing the entire road. With all that, you know, possibilities, Singapore can be actually car light.
Yeah.
Or maybe a bit. I mean, we have lots of interesting opportunities to free up all these spaces for public consumption.
Of course, in that area, there is no shortage of public transportation. You've got the East-West line, you've got the Circle line, you've got all the buses and everything. So it's not to say that there wouldn't be public transport at all, but just so many new people coming into that area that has, you know, until now, just been the port, basically, right? So that's an interesting thing to think about from that perspective. Now, there's competition, it was competition earlier in this year, calling for ideas and winning proposals for the two old power stations in Pasir Panjang. And these proposals would be showcased toward the end of the year. What do you think would be an interesting or a good use for those power stations down that are right down by the waterfront?
Of course, nowadays, if you build something brand new, it loses the attraction. People like old stuff, just like how we appreciate our rail station at Tanjung Pagar. So some of these older buildings can be used in certain ways. For example, currently, I think there's this trend about millennials liking to having their hands on. So there's big hit for the Starbucks in Shanghai because you can brew your own coffees. So they can actually try something like retailtainment, and that will actually bring
retailtainment.
That's an actual word now, huh? Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that one. Okay, I must be out of the loop. But retailtainment, I like that. Okay, Christine, talking about those 9,000 both public and private housing units expected to be built at the Keppel Golf Club site. What do you foresee in terms of the prices of that housing to be built on that plot? What's the expectation?
Yeah, I think for public housing, there's a bit of a controversy because people see it as a prime site. And naturally, there will be this lottery effect because people will bid for it, but they may not stay there. So it will attract a fair bit of investors going into the area, which is not really what government wants because prices will be high for that area. And over time, you can see that the people they really want to attract may not be actually staying in the location because if they are rich people, they might have a house on their own. They're just waiting for the minimum occupation period. So that could be some tweaks in terms of the sales conditions.
Yeah, they were already talking about that they might increase that to 5 years.
That's right.
2 years, that sort of thing, the minimum occupation period.
Yeah, but I think the simplest, the straightforward way could be just reduce the lease, maybe from 99 years to 60 years, because it has two advantages. Firstly, the premium is gone. So people actually pay less in terms of the housing and in terms of the mortgage rates. Over time, they also don't see the capital gain because shorter leases basically comes with some kind of risk. So it will attract genuine home buyers to stay in the area. And in many other cities, we have this multifamily as a real estate asset. Basically, they're apartments but for rental use. So we can also have that concept in Singapore, maybe co-living.
But they haven't done that, to my knowledge, down in Siglap and Bedok. You know, down there, there's some brand new HDBs going up right on the water.
Yeah,
they're going to be beautiful, right?
So yes, of course.
Would that have to be applied in those sites as well? Because they're oceanside, they're near the airport. I mean, very attractive location.
Of course, if you look at the locations, it is rare for Singapore to have seafront living. So
oddly enough, right? Living on an island, you'd think we would have lots of it.
That's right. So definitely, if the condition applies to this site, we can't rule out that in future we can't have the same condition.
Yeah.
So in terms of the pricing, I think if we assume it's going to be still 99-year leasehold, I think it will be a notch higher maybe than Duxton. Which has been transacted in the market for about close to $1 million.
The Pinnacle.
Yeah, the Pinnacle.
But those are the resale, not the original sale, correct?
Yeah. So original sale maybe 10-20% discount because of the lottery effect. I guess the government also don't really want to give people so much capital gain.
Yeah.
But I think doing it on the 30 years, 60 years will be a better option.
In the front page of the Business Times today, above the fold, is this story talking about that. And one of the examples that was given was the sale of the Balance flats. It was a balance, an HDB exercise in May that included three units of five-room flats in Queenstown. Now, those were priced at up to $757,000. And the idea that was mentioned in this article in the Business Times was that surely we would see, with a more prime location such as Keppel, we would see pricing, initial pricing of at least $1 million would not be unexpected. How is that going to fit in with getting a real mix of people into those HDBs, for example, when the pricing is so high?
Yeah, I think it doesn't make sense anymore.
Will there be another scheme that, you know, will have to help lower income folks be able to afford such a high price thing? Or how does that work?
Personally, I don't think that the government need to subsidize this group of buyer who wants to go for the premium flats.
Yeah.
Because this is a premium location.
BTO scheme.
Yes, if they really can't afford it, they shouldn't stretch to the limits. But I think there could be other schemes that allows people, genuine home buyers who wants to stay near the city and enjoy this seafront living, just average Singaporeans, but they don't mind paying for something that maybe has almost zero capital value, capital appreciation in future. Yeah.
With Christine Lee in the studio, head of research for Singapore and Southeast Asia at Cushman and Wakefield, talking about the Great Southern Waterfront, the new development that's going to stretch from Gardens by the Bay East all the way to Pasir Panjang. The Prime Minister was talking about it earlier on Sunday night at his National Day rally. There's been an issue lately about potentially too many HDB apartments popping up around town. First of all, do you subscribe to that? And secondly, if so, is it a good idea to build more HDBs on this prime land site, or would it be better suited to a higher value properties?
I think one example you can look at is Marina Bay area. Although people think that it's very successful, but it's not 24/7 because after work, you can see people still rush home to their homes in the suburbs. Only the expatriates, but a quite small community who still stays within the city. But from my understanding, a lot of my expatriate colleagues, once they form families, they have children, they move out of the CBD. So this location is, this example may not be very suited for work live play because basically people still treat it as pure workplace simply because you don't have a wide range of Singaporeans stay in that location. Perhaps for Greater Southern Waterfront, because of the size, we can actually plan it properly so that people from lower income, people from middle income and high income, they can all mix together. It's like a big Rojak in this area. So I think
a Rojak Southern Waterfront. Maybe it's RSW instead of GSW.
That's right. Yeah. So if you look at all these global gateway cities, they actually have residents from all walks of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I have been basically advocating.
But they've tried to do that in Downtown East. They've tried to do that in Punggol. They're trying to do it in Jurong, the Lake District there. They're trying to make places where people can live and work, and yet people are not necessarily staying in those areas to work, right? They're coming into town.
Yes, that's right.
So it's in the reverse, it's not working either.
I think it's also because of the inertia in the business. Because if you look at Singapore, in the past decade, we always try to basically make businesses very competitive. So in terms of the business cost, or in terms of the CBD rental, we have always had this fear that we will lose out to Hong Kong. That's why you can see our CBD rental rarely go past $12.
Yeah.
Whenever it hits a bump, and then the rates will come down. So it's pretty flattish over the years.
Yeah.
But I think this is set to change because if you remember the Master Plan 2019, the government talked about the CBD work live play, which means they are actually tearing down some of these older office buildings to make way for residential and even hotel, which means you will have more people going to CBD. But at the same time, the office blocks are being torn down. And you can see that there will be more business nodes in the suburbs in the regional centres. So that's where the direction is really going. And over time, if you have more enterprises moving out of the CBD, then you will have workers living and working in their homes, near their homes.
Great. Christine Lee, the head of research for Singapore and Southeast Asia, Cushman & Wakefield. This is a big issue. I'm sure we'll have you on many more times to discuss it in the future. But thanks for being on with us today.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.